Coming to you live from the studios of AM 1400, KKZZ, Ventura County's Inspiration Station, this is the Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and more, bringing you value in every way, every day. Join Kim and her friends as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, featuring everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. You can join us and share your journey by giving us a phone call at 805-639-0008. And now, here's your host, Kim Pagano.
Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Another wonderful day and another wonderful way to start your day. And I'm so excited that you are here with us at the Kim Pagano Show. I'm Kim. I've got Marcia here. She's just hanging out with me all week long. It's so much fun.
Yeah, we're having an all week thing.
There you go. I love it. And we've got Barry on our board. I just got a text from my daughter, a question mark. What would that possibly mean? So I don't know. It's scary when you got four kids. Yeah. What does that mean? Anyways.
I just wanted to say good morning to the both of you. I'm surrounded by loveliness and great talent this morning.
Thank you. Yes, and I want to give out our phone number here because it is Trivia Tuesday, and we got Rob Blaze going to join us today. He's got some Strawberry Festival tickets, and I've got some Strawberry Festival tickets. So remember, this weekend is the Oxnard, California Strawberry Coast Strawberry Festival, and tickets are $12, and for seniors, $8, and for youths, $5, and active military with ID are $8. So it would be really beneficial to call in and get some tickets. I've been putting them all over Facebook.
It's Saturday and Sunday from 10 to 6:30.
Yeah, and they've got lots of parking, but if you want to park on site, it's $10. So what we're going to do is...
And a big traffic jam. So they're trying to get you to park off site. So look on their website and find the closest place. It would be a lot faster.
Yeah, they've got definitely... yeah, exactly. www.strawberryfestival.com. And you know what? It's so much fun. I love looking at all the different recipes that they have been creative. And yesterday, in fact,
isn't the Strawberry Festival just a great local event? It really is. It has been for years.
But you know those strawberries that Dr. Stephen brought in yesterday?
Oh my gosh.
It was like eating sugar.
I really can't even
believe it. So
they were the smaller ones, which I think is the key. The big ones aren't as flavorful, I think.
I don't know. Yeah, it was really good. Anyway,
you know, I got my first job in radio up here in 83, and the Strawberry Festival started the next year, so I've got quite a history with the Strawberry Festival.
Oh, so do you always go to it?
Most years. But
yeah.
And I took part in the Strawberry Pie Eating Contest one time.
I can see you doing that, Barry. All right. Well, anyways, I am so excited that you are starting your day with us here, and we've got an incredible day. We're going to be talking to my friend Lisa M. Berman, and she is the go-to style diva, and she's going to talk about attitude is your best accessory, and you need to choose a fabulous one. So I think that's going to be really fun. You know,
it is fun. It's
fun, and she's actually going to be giving away a over Skype, and which is we were talking about. I could do that. Does this look good? Does this look good? You know, is how do you know when you know you buy things sometimes, and you just don't know if they're going to look good. They look good in the store,
right?
But as women, and I don't know if men do this or not, you know, there's days we feel really good, and there's days I'm like, I walk in my closet, and my husband just looks at me boggled because he's like, I have a lot of clothes, but I'm like, I can't find anything to wear. And he's like, seriously, how could you not find anything to wear when you have all these clothes?
I know. And the sad part is we all do this. We have all these clothes, and then we wear basically about 20 of them.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know that there are some tricks. You know, we were talking about this the other day with one of my guests, that you take your hangers
and
turn them all the right way. Then the ones you wear, keep turning around, and you'll see which ones you don't wear. So I know that you know, we'll talk a little bit about that, but... You know, I'm really excited. She's really great, and she's got some, she calls them their aha moments that you can have every single day. The other person that we're going to have on for our show today is Eat What You Love, Love What You Eat with Diabetes, a mindful eating program for thriving with pre-diabetes or diabetes, and that is Dr. Michelle May. And so we will be talking with her, too. So I know that is, we were talking a little bit about there's just so many.
You know, I was telling Kim that I had listened to a radio show on diabetes. I don't have diabetes, and you know, I'm not.
Thank God. Yeah.
But that childhood. I mean, children are having so much more diabetes than they used to. That they're thinking because diabetes, the onset diabetes, not the juvenile diabetes, the onset diabetes is happening so much younger that these kids that are getting diabetes, onset diabetes early are going to end up losing their sight and their limbs in their 20s and 30s.
My husband's uncle he lost both of his limbs. And I remember he was in the hospital. Totally not a positive topic, but it's interesting to talk about that. Is they gave him straws to smoke because it was really at the end of his life, but he didn't know any better. I just don't understand, and we really need to be mindful about what we put in our mouths and you know, really invest in our bodies. So yeah. Anyway, so we'll be talking about that, but I'm really excited to introduce everyone to Lisa Berman. Lisa, are you there?
I am. Good morning, everyone.
How are you?
I'm fantastic.
Very good. And I'm glad that you chose Attitude is Your Best Accessory and choose a fabulous one. So, but you know what? Tell us a little bit about yourself since I know you were on my later show with us, but you haven't been on this show yet.
I have not. Yes, that was a lot of fun.
Thank you.
I am the go-to style diva, and I work with women primarily, but also a number of men, male clients. And I help them cultivate their own personal style. So many people say, you know, I don't have a thing to wear. I don't know what to wear. How can I be fashionable on a budget? And these are all types of things that I address. And really my tagline is about being red carpet ready for every stage of your life. And that can mean from going to the grocery store, dropping the kids off at school, to really attending a big event.
What is the first step in finding your own style?
It's really examining what your lifestyle is and what you do every day.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you're a banker in New York, that's a completely different lifestyle than, say, being a mother of three. And I say that, you know, if you're a yoga instructor, for example, you don't always have to wear black pants every single day.
Right.
It's assessing your personal needs for your time frame and time constraints as well as your budget. And I think knowing that and being true to that is the most important.
Wow.
Being authentic.
Be authentic. I really like being authentic. I mean, really, that to me is... You know, now is it a lot of people they learn from what their parents and their family, you know, is that how they learn to dress? Or, you know, there's a lot of women that dress and they're older and they still dress young. I mean,
yeah.
How do you know when, you know, so can you give us some really great steps?
Sure. You know, it's funny that you just said that some women are dressing inappropriately. And one of my most recent videos was, how do you wear neon, which is such a big trend this spring and summer, and not look like you're 13-year-old. So, I mean, and that's really a key factor. And it's really about balance. And again, being...
Isn't that funny? The balance comes into our clothes, too. The balance is like the key to life, you know?
Well, it was funny when the big trend was like almost the 60s, end of the 60s, and then the early 70s, the midriff showing and everything. My husband's like, you know... There are a lot of women that are showing their stomachs that really shouldn't be.
Yeah.
That's absolutely true.
Too much skin.
True. And that's one of my pet peeves and one of my key factors that I talk to about my clients with is fit. Fit is one of the key elements to you looking your best.
Right.
Whether it's too tight because it's showing off too much, meaning no skin really should be showing unless you're
12.
22. and then the also tent dressing. A lot of women who are feeling they're maybe a little bit overweight, they're not looking their best or feeling their best, and they tend to hide behind tent
bigger clothes. Yeah,
right. And that just is a killer. It adds at least 20 or 30 pounds if you're not dressing for fit. So make sure things fit you. It's better to have 10 items that fit well than 40 that are just mediocre.
Right.
Yeah, that's key. Yes.
Lisa, I just want to remind any of my listeners that are just tuning in right now that you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show. I'm so glad that you're starting your day in a positive way here. And we're talking to Lisa M. Berman. She is the go-to style diva. Lisa, when you have a, you know, how do you know how women, and I guess you're saying men do this too, their sizes go up and down, up and down. How do you shop for that? How do you, you know, I mean, you always, everybody, a lot of people throw things away or donate them, you know, when they don't need them. But how do you have different sizes in your closet? Or how would you talk to us about that?
Well, what you can do also is, you know, I utilize a belt often. if something's too big and I don't necessarily want to invest in alterations and it's something that's appropriate, either a dress. I just switched over my winter wardrobe to my summer wardrobe just yesterday, and there were a few things that didn't look so great.
Right.
But instead of donating it or selling it, by simply putting a belt on it, it looked terrific, and it was fresh, and it was new, and it even if I wore it again, people thought, oh, well, that's a completely new look.
So let's back up a second. So you said you took all of your winter and brought all your summer in.
Well, she probably doesn't live in California.
No, she does.
She does.
Yeah, she does.
Okay.
But you know what? That's the second time that I've heard that. So that I would really like to talk about because I am endlessly always trying to organize my closet.
Well, and this year was maddening because it would be hot one week and then cold the next week and hot. And every time I thought about putting away my sweaters, it would get cold again.
It's crazy. My friend is visiting from New York, and he says, you know, we didn't even have a winter in New York. It snowed 3 days. So I think, you know, obviously the environment is crazy. So, Kim, the question is it organizing or is that the question?
Yeah, definitely organizing. I mean, to me, I did it by colors, but I think it actually makes more sense to do it by seasons.
Well, let me tell you this. The best way is the best way for you. However best you will access it, use it to your best advantage is the way that you should organize it. I go a little bit over the top. I organize it by height, so skirts, pants, then suits, dresses, etc., and by color. And if it's winter, it goes in the winter closet. Obviously, if it's spring, it comes into the current season. And just because I travel, obviously, I have winter clothes as well, and again, you never know.
I organize mine by sleeves, so no sleeves, short sleeves, long sleeves, because that
exactly,
you know, that is whether it's hot, cold, medium, whatever.
Right, exactly. Also, if it's daytime or evening, I also have it organized that way.
Right.
Again, we as humans, we as people, we have our own particular way. I mean, when you open your cupboards in the kitchen, you have your cans or your food organized a certain way, some people. Sometimes it's a mishmash, but it's about how you're going to access it and utilize it the best. Okay. And when you're taking the time to actually organize your closet, that's the best time for you to actually take the thing out and literally go shopping in your own closet. Don't just look at the item and say, oh, I'm getting rid of it. See if you can reinvent it in a new way. That way it's as if you save money because now you have two or three new items with just the same old, quote-unquote, same old shirt that you've had in there for years.
I try to, once a year, sometimes twice a year, take everything out of the closet
Put
them back in one at a time and try them on as I do it, if I can figure, you know, have enough time. Can we talk about color for a minute? I think one of the biggest problems people have is when they don't feel good about themselves, they instantly put black on. And sometimes I think color will make you feel better about yourself.
I have to tell you, for years, I wore almost black all the time, and now I really, really make an attempt not to wear black because it's so true. The other thing that happens as we progress in age, our skin tone changes.
Right.
Our hair changes. Obviously, most of us dye our hair at this point. And when you put on certain colors, you just immediately become almost a different person. You become happy. And you know it. When you put on a color that looks great on you, your attitude changes.
Or at least accessorize with color.
Right. Well, I think color pops you. It's just, you know, I'm a hair therapist. And when you have color even in your hair or your makeup or just putting simple lipstick on, you know, or just like you said, necklaces that pop.
Right.
I think it's and there is certain colors that you know are good for you. Well, and I do want to give out our phone number here. If any of my listeners has a question that they might want to ask, you know, as you get older, what colors are better for you? Or, you know, if there's a question out there, give us a call at 805-639-0008.
You know, and this is the other thing, ladies, or men out there, too.
Yeah.
That's what stores are there for. Just because you walk into a store doesn't mean you have to actually purchase something on the spot.
Right.
Go in there. You play dress up. Go with a girlfriend. Go with a few of them, actually. And when you put things on, hold them up in the mirror and just see which colors look the best on your skin.
Or a new style that comes out. Because, you know, like a couple years ago, that like lots of kind of, it's not a ruffle, but layers of material that felt, and it did look good on me, but some people made
it
look...
Oh, it could be too much, too. Too much material.
Really too much. And it also depends on certain body types.
Right.
And that's why I'll talk about one of my presentations. I say, quote unquote, do not follow fashion. And then you hear the gasp in the room. And it's true. It's about following and creating your own personal style. There might be an element or a trend that's in fashion that you like.
Right.
But you just have to reinterpret it to fit your personal style.
Right.
And exactly right. Kim, lipstick, hair color. I went, you know, I have to tell you, one of my my favorite places to go is I buy lipstick at Bed Bath & Beyond because I use my 20% coupon. I mean, just little things that can make a big change in your wardrobe, in your outlook. And it's about taking time and investing in yourself. You really have to invest that time in yourself.
Yeah.
Okay, Lisa, we have Brett on the line who has a question for you.
Hi, Brett.
Okay, hold on one second. Brett, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Welcome. How are you?
Very good.
Good. And your question, where are you calling from?
I'm in Los Angeles.
Very cool.
I heard you guys talking about closets and organizing in the spring and the fall. If someone is building a brand new house.
I love it.
Just wanted to ask the question, what would be the ideal closet for a man and a woman, or if they share the closet? But if you're building a brand new house with a brand new closet, how would you set that up?
Great question. Great question. Lisa?
Lots of closet space for the shoes. Lots of closet space for the shoes.
That's my kind of girl right there.
Yeah, that's right. And for the man, he might even have to venture out to the garage to find his closet.
Oh, I love it.
I see. Okay.
All right. No, but
thank
you know
you
what?
So
I think that it really is important to have enough space to grow and also have almost like a you know, drawers or an armoire inside your closet if you have the space. If you're just building, I would so be all over that. So,
well, and get a closet specialist. They're not that expensive, and there are some really good closet people that will come out, look at what you have,
well, you know,
and
it's
then
interesting.
Design your closet
actually,
to go with it.
Brett, are you still there?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, do you have a lot of clothes?
Not at the moment. I don't have a house there yet.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But, I mean, are you into clothes? Because, you know, my husband's like, I don't care what you...
Less. Yeah.
No, I love clothes, and I love suits, and,
Right. And so, Lisa, you would want to hang your suits all nice. I mean, so you know how, like, some closets are too short?
Mm-hmm.
Correct. And, you know, I actually work with a number of celebrity clients, and they are pretty big. One of them is 6'5", and so we had to actually order him special hangers. And they were all custom hangers, and the wood actually matched the wood inside of the closet. So, Brett, I mean, I'd be happy to meet with you in person, especially since you're in Los Angeles, and look at your closet needs and show you what's possible.
I love it. Well,
Come to mention, you were going to give something away today.
Yes, in fact. And thank you so much, Brett, for calling. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Lisa, what are you giving away to our listeners?
I'm so excited. A one-hour consultation. If you're in the Los Angeles area, of course, we can meet in person. Or, Kim, in your area, a one-hour consultation via Skype.
You know, it's funny. We were talking about Skype. I think that would be kind of neat.
That'd be
okay,
fun.
So what do you think of this one? Okay, now what do you think of this one, you know?
Exactly. It's like playing dress-up with your girlfriend, but she can be in one state and you're in another. And you can do that with your friends, too.
You know what? And sometimes it just takes somebody, I hate to say that you don't know, or somebody outside of your own life to tell you, you know what? You really shouldn't be wearing that.
Right.
Or you would look much better in, you know.
Right. Well, what I want to do is open up our phone lines right now at 805-639-0008, and let's give it away to our third caller right now for 1 hour with Lisa M. Berman to kind of look at your clothes and kind of re-help you renegotiate your life. Right?
Style for spring. A new style for
Style for spring. Now, here's a question. What do you think about stripes?
Vertical.
Okay.
Or on your furniture.
Yeah. It does look great on your furniture.
Right, but it makes you look wider, doesn't it?
It absolutely does, but it also depends on the width of the stripe.
Right.
I actually often, when I'm venturing in stores and I see wide horizontal stripes for women, I always wonder why designers are showing that. And it's just because fashion is cyclical. And every fourth spring, we have nautical. There's a nautical theme. Every third fall, you're going to see a lot of animal prints and then purple and red.
That's just funny.
It's very interesting. If you go back and look at the history of fashion, it is cyclical. And you've got the houndstooth every fourth fall. So you can really, it's a science. You can calculate it. So if there are things in your closet and you like them, keep them because they will come back around.
See, but the nerd side of me, I was a theater major and I had to take costume history. And I don't know if you all know this, but until the 1900s, clothing was called costume. It wasn't called fashion. But anyway. And you can kind of, every single thing we wear comes from history, which is really interesting.
Absolutely.
And you wonder how some of it didn't disappear because some of it doesn't look good on anybody.
Absolutely true. Certain silhouettes, elements, design elements, nothing is new. The only thing that is new in fashion is technology. And that's not, I'm not talking about a sewing machine. I'm responding to technology and what they put into fabrication.
Right.
Obviously, neoprene wasn't available 100 years ago.
Yeah, so polyester of any
technology
kind.
Technology that makes a difference in our lives every day, and that includes fashion.
Wow. Lisa, can you stay with us? We need to take a really quick break, and but I love what we're talking about, and I do want to give out our phone number here at 805-639-0008. If you have a question for Lisa, we're talking about, the go-to style diva lady here. So stay with us. You're listening to The Kim Pagano Show.
Hi, it's Kim, and I want to share someone with you, My Mechanic. With over 30 years of experience, you can be sure that your car will always be handled with the latest diagnostic equipment. Everything that needs to be done to your car will be explained in layman's terms.
Hi, I'm Jerry Schaffner, owner of JBS Auto Services. We specialize in gas, diesel, domestic, foreign, street rod, heavy-duty trucks, and motorhomes. Give us a call so we can take care of all your automotive problems. We are located right off the 118 in Simi Valley. Give us a call, 805-522-3923. Again, that number is 805-522-3923.
Oh. Welcome back, everyone. You are listening to The Kim Pagano Show. And we have Lisa Berman here, and she is our go-to style diva. And Lisa, we had a question we were talking about. What's the easiest way to fix your wardrobe?
Yeah, what's the easiest fix?
Well, actually, I touched base on it just a few moments ago, and honestly, it is fit. You may have the same set or the same wardrobe, but it is fit. If it doesn't fit properly, then it looks terrible, and I don't care whether it was on sale or if it's a very expensive designer piece of clothing. If it doesn't fit, it doesn't work, and it doesn't belong on your body at all.
And sometimes things did fit when you bought them, and then your body changed. Either you got thinner or fatter or whatever.
Exactly. Exactly. And there might be something that's too tight, but then there might be a way to camouflage it with an oversized, with a jacket that actually fits you properly. So you just cover it up if it's something you really, really love. And also repetition. We also talked about it before that some people just, you know, they go to black because they think it's going to make them look better and it's their go-to element.
Right.
And the reality is the easiest thing to do is to fix your wardrobe, is to go in and find new combinations.
Right.
And you know what I love to do? Mm. There are a couple of hints here. You can go shopping in your own closet. You can go shopping if you've got really close friends. You can go shopping in your friends' closets. You can do clothing swaps. It's a lot of fun. That way it's free. And obviously you can go shopping.
I love that, actually. You know, it's funny. You would never think that you could go shopping in your friend's closet. But a lot of times, if I don't like it, they might love it. You know, I mean, yeah. You know, and so you kind of get somebody who's your same, somewhat of your same size, shape, right? And, you know, and do that. We're going into bathing suit time right now. Okay.
Yeah.
What is the hot styles for bathing suits right now?
Well, let me again.
Yeah, that's a good one, huh?
If you're looking at fashion trends and you're a supermodel, that's one thing. I say what's hot is the best.
What looks good on you.
Yes, always. Yeah. No matter what. You can even, I know if I say this, it's a terrible thing to say, throw away the fashion magazines. It's about what looks best on your body. There might be certain colors. For example, there's so much neon out there, and I don't know how that is really that appropriate for someone in their 50s or 60s, but there might be an element. There might be a flower or an accent that you like. And again, it is going to be fit. You have to be honest. You have to stand in front of the mirror, and that's one of the most daunting tasks, is to buy a bathing suit. And I don't care if you're 30, 40, or 50, it's the same gas thing. So you go in and you try on as many as you possibly can. That is the most important. Try on different looks. And if you have your friends, ask them to be brutally honest with you, because you want to make sure when you leave that dressing room, you're looking great and you're feeling positive about yourself. You don't want to hide. You can't hide behind a bathing suit.
Yeah, right? I always say don't look at your face. Just cut your neck off and look at the bottom objectively and see if you want to see that on the beach.
Right. And ask for an opinion.
Yeah.
Ask the other ladies in the dressing room or dressing area, not necessarily the salesperson. Believe me, women, we are brutally honest with one another.
So, yes. Okay, in that same vein, how do you find a good pair of jeans? I know there's like all this technology.
Not my mother's jeans or my daughter's jeans and all that.
Yes, going to see that.
You know what? Can we do something really quick? We've got Rob Blaze on the line right now, and he is from Coffee News. We're going to do our quick trivia. Will you stay with
us?
Okay, absolutely. Perfect. Rob, are you there?
Sure, Kim. Good morning.
How are you? Do you have any wardrobe clothes for my friend Lisa Berman here?
Questions?
I might have a limited wardrobe, you know, but I'm sure I could find something.
Are you like most men that you just put it on and walk out the door and don't really care?
Yeah, or do you like color?
I like color. When I used to be in the corporate world, I used to like to get some interesting ties to wear. Particularly I used to like this artist. His name's Jerry Garcia, and he created a bunch of really awesome neckties and neckwear.
I like that. Very cool. See, that's another almost like a jewelry for men.
I love ties.
You know,
I love suits, but.
There are so many interesting socks out there for men.
Oh, socks. Right,
show off those ankles.
I love it. I love it. All right, Rob, so what do we have from Coffee News today?
Okay, well, in next week's Coffee News, we have some really interesting and fun stories, as usual. We have Gabriel Jarrett from Jacksonville, Florida, has become a world-renowned Elvis impersonator. And what makes this guy so interesting is he's only 6 years old.
Oh, God.
6 years old? Wow. He's like an old soul.
He's already hanging out with Paris Hilton and getting big name gigs. He's something to see. So can read about him in Coffee News. And then on the flip side of things, at 114 years old, we have the oldest wedding cake in the world, and it still holds its shape, and supposedly it's still moist, and it's at the Willis Museum in Basingstoke, England.
Wait, you mean it's real?
It's supposedly the first wedding cake, and it's surprising that it's only 114 years old, because you'd think cakes and wedding cakes would be ancient. But
okay, so let me add something to this. In England, in it, they weren't wedding cakes as we know them. They were like a fruit cake. So it's like dried fruit cake.
Is that what it is?
I'm telling you, it's not like a wedding cake.
Yeah, because they So it's not. It doesn't have cream or anything that
didn't
can go bad.
Eat it at the weddings. They took it home. So
there you anyway, go.
Confirms my theories about fruit cakes.
Yeah, exactly.
Careful. Oh gosh. Okay. All right.
And we got a lot of great stories. You know, it's always a fun read. You pick up Coffee News, and it's guaranteed to make you smile. And bring up some interesting discussion.
Okay, very cool. So what is our trivia for today?
Okay, to win the tickets to the Strawberry Festival, which is this weekend.
Yes, I know. I've got some tickets to match to yours, so I'm excited to give them away, too.
Yeah, we have a question today, which is a question that's maybe favorable to men, but maybe not, you know.
I don't know. There's a lot of women that do it.
Which NFL football team won the most Super Bowl games in the 90s?
Okay. In the 90s.
In the 90s. Okay. 805-639-0008. Give us a call here so you can get your tickets for this weekend to the California Strawberry Festival. And, I'm really excited. Are you going to the Strawberry Festival?
I hope I can make a busy schedule this weekend. But I'm hoping that I can squeeze in a stop over there either on Saturday or Sunday and, enjoy some of the interesting things that they do with strawberries out there.
I know. I'm telling you, they think of everything. All right. So, again, really quick, say our question, our trivia question.
Here it is again. Which NFL football team won the most Super Bowl games in the 90s?
So won the games. Okay.
Okay. Yeah,
won the most Super Bowl games in the 90s. And, this team is very popular in Oxnard, I can tell you that.
Oh, there you go. Okay, you gave him a hint. All right, perfect. Okay, great. Thank you so much, and I will let you know our winner.
All righty.
All right, thanks, Rob.
Morning.
You got it. Okay. Bye-bye. All right, and for anybody that's just joining us, give us a call so you can win your California Strawberry Festival tickets. And we've got a four set for you at 805-639-0008. Also, we've got Lisa Berman on the line. I've got Marcia, and I've got Barry on our board. So definitely, I'm so glad that you are starting your day with us. Lisa, is there any tips that you can leave my listeners with?
Have fun, and have fun.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great.
That's right. Mix things up a bit and do something unexpected and be invest in yourself. And that means taking the time to really look at yourself, assess what works, what doesn't, and then, again, have fun. We forget to have fun.
Yeah.
So color it and have fun.
Color it.
Color, fit, and have fun.
Right.
Right.
I think that's really good. And you know what? So many of us are stuck in our wardrobes or stuck. They don't think that they would look good in that. Try it on.
Absolutely.
Try it on. Think out of the box for a moment.
I love that term. Think
outside
of the box, and it doesn't cost anything to try it on.
And I want to add one last thing. Okay, you don't shop at all the department stores and stuff like that, right? Where do you shop?
No, I actually don't. I like to shop a lot at retail stores. I shop because they have some amazing designer pieces that have been gently worn, and they're really investment pieces, but you're actually getting them in the same prices that you would walk into a department store.
And sometimes not even gently worn. I work at a resale shop for National Charity League, and there are a lot of things with tags still on it there.
Absolutely.
So you can find brand new clothes sometimes. I'm not very good at that, and I admire anybody who is. I just look at all the stuff and see a bunch of junk where there are people that can go find the gem. And I so appreciate that.
Yeah, I look at the color and I'm like, ooh, I'm all over that. You know, it's something that just pops out. Because, I mean, and also like a lot of the TJ Maxx and stuff like that, you can find stuff in there. It's just, it's a little harder. It's kind of like
absolutely.
The diamond in the
you
rough,
have to
you know?
Have a discerning eye. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
A discerning eye and walk in there with a list, literally a grocery list. Keep on point, on purpose about what you're looking for. Because otherwise it can be completely overwhelming, and just because it has those four little words or those little letters that say sale,
right.
end up taking things home that don't
Oh, that's
right.
a big one. And now I know there's one other thing that I would love to hit, and I know we're going to bring you back again, but what are the key things that people should have in their closet?
Okay, I am not a proponent of the 10 things you must have because I think that it depends on your lifestyle,
oh.
depends on where you live. Geographics play a role. You don't need, you know, 5 winter coats if you're living basically here in Southern California. 1 or 2 are fine. But obviously you need a pair of jeans, but it has they have to fit properly.
We never talked about the
no,
jeans, did we? Okay,
on.
Yeah.
No. I will tell you there is a video on my website where I talk about jeans and that I worked at the first Guess Jeans store in Orange County in high school, and I absolutely refused to wear the jeans, and the owner told me I had to, and I said I was determined, and I said, no, I will not. They don't fit me. They don't look good on me, and I'm absolutely not going to wear them. There are so many other choices in the store, and that's what I did. Mm. So it's about fit, finding the right jeans. You know, there are so many fashion books that can give you the 10 lists,
mm.
but it's really about your lifestyle. You
have I like
to,
that.
You have to have your go-to dress. And I have to say, every woman must absolutely have to have a little black dress.
A little black
then,
dress.
Yes, you have
And what
to
about
have
black pants?
Well, of course.
Yeah, because to me, my black pants are my to-go, you know, go-to.
Absolutely. And create your own go-to list.
Exactly.
And change it up for spring and for fall.
Wow. Well, this has been so much fun. I love talking about clothes. It is one of my weaknesses out there. So where do we find, you know, where do my listeners find more about you?
On GoToStyleDiva.com.
Okay.
Very easy. I'm happy to answer any questions. There are a number of videos on there as well. I'm happy to book a Skype session or meet with them in person.
Okay, perfect.
Thank you so much, Kim. I enjoyed my time with you again.
Oh, thank you. I did too. So thank you so much, Lisa.
Great.
All right.
Great day.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
All right. We are going to take a really quick break. And when we come back, we'll talk to Dr. Michelle May. And we'll talk about eat what you love what you eat with diabetes and a mindful eating program. Even if you don't have diabetes, this is really a program that, you know, we should all be. We're at that age now. At least we are at that age, right? Where
yeah.
it's important to look at what you're putting in your body. So,
but isn't every age that age?
I mean, really, you're absolutely right. Even our children, like you're saying, it's things are coming up. You know, I think we have just way more information on life now, and so it's important to really be mindful about it. Stay with us. You're listening to the Kim Pagano Show again. 805-639-0008.
Hi, it's Kim, and I want to share someone with you, My Mechanic. With over 30 years of experience, you can be sure that your car will always be handled with the latest diagnostic equipment. Everything that needs to be done to your car will be explained in layman's terms.
Hi, I'm Jerry Schaffner, owner of JBS Auto Services. We specialize in gas, diesel, domestic, foreign, street rod, heavy-duty trucks, and motorhomes. Give us a call so we can take care of all your automotive problems. We are located right off the 118 in Simi Valley. Give us a call, 805-522-3923. Again, that number is 805-522-3923.
We can't change where our economy is today, but we can make sense of our future. Retirement will be around the corner, whether you're planning for it or not. And let's face it, Most people have not. Let Hannah and David help you strategize and get focused on your future. They'll show you ways to help you reduce debt, start saving money, earn higher rates of returns, help you save toward the cost of college, and protect your family and real estate using the suitable forms of life insurance. Call Hannah and David for a no-obligation consultation. Hannah and David have been helping families and business owners in Southern California since 1999 with a great proven track record. Call them in their new Westlake office. You can reach Hannah and David at 818-402-9396. Give them a call. Today can be the first day of the rest of your life.
This is the Kim Pagano Show on AM 1400 KKZZ. Are you a fan of Kim on Facebook yet? If not, it's extremely easy. Simply go to facebook.com/TheKimPaganoShow and press the like button. You can find all about what's coming up on upcoming shows, as well as be entered in special contests to win monthly prizes. It's all for free on Facebook at facebook.com/TheKimPaganoShow. And now, once again, here's Kim.
All right. Welcome back. Welcome back. You are listening to The Kim Pagano Show, and I am so glad that you are starting your day with us here. You know, that wasn't really interesting because it's kind of summer. I want to, like, I'm inspired to clean out my clothes now and kind of look at going, okay, it's getting warmer. What do I need to get rid of my sweaters? But do you put them in another closet, or what do you do?
I used to. Now I'm kind of, I put them on one side. Well, all my sweaters I put away in boxes.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
So they're
all my winter sweaters.
Yeah. And what about your jackets? Do you have a jacket closet?
We do.
You do?
Yeah. They're always in the jacket closet.
Yeah.
Because I can ignore them when I'm, you know, that's in the hall.
Right. Yeah. So I think that I'm like going, where am I going to put all my stuff here? So anyways, well, I do want to invite our next guest, Michelle May. And your book is Eat What You Love, Love What You Eat with Diabetes. And Michelle, are you there?
I sure am. Good morning.
Very welcome. How are you?
Doing great. How are you, Kim?
Good. Tell us a little bit about yourself and why you wrote this book.
You bet. I am a family physician by training, but probably as importantly for this topic, I'm also a recovered yo-yo dieter.
Mm, yeah,
so
there's a lot of us out there.
For the last 13 years, I've been teaching other people how to break out of yo-yo diet habits, and now we have a new book, Eat What You Love, Love What You Eat with Diabetes, to help people also manage their diabetes without restriction and deprivation, which I think is the key.
Okay.
So I was just saying that I heard a show on diabetes and childhood diabetes. Well, not childhood diabetes, onset diabetes that children are getting. And I think it's so important for us to actually take a hold of this early because, gosh.
Well, to teach our children how to eat. I think that's exciting.
So what is the most important things we need to know about diabetes and how to live with it?
Well, let me take a step back and use what you just said to sort of frame up this conversation, because there is a lot of conversation around diabetes right now, and I think, unfortunately, we're hearing a lot of the same old, same old. You said something really important a moment ago about teaching our children how to eat, and I want to suggest that our children are born with the instinctive ability to know how to eat. The real problem is they forget how to do that in our current culture. So if we take a look at what they do naturally and what we once knew how to do naturally and begin to mimic that behavior, I believe and have seen over the last 13 years with tens of thousands of people that we can actually restore our ability to manage our eating even in this abundant food environment.
You know, I mean, because they say that there's a lot of emotional eating. People emotionally eat, correct? Whether you're full or not.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you get upset and the first thing you go, oh, I'm just going to grab this, you know, M&Ms, or I'm going to grab. So how do you get rid of that?
Right, right. Well, you're exactly right. It's not true for everybody. Some people aren't such emotional eaters, but they're habitual eaters, eating on a schedule or getting their money's worth or finishing their plate, that sort of thing. So what this book is designed to do is really help people become more mindful about the decisions that they make. So going back to the concept that every one of us was born with the instinctive ability to do this naturally, if you watch a young baby, they eat when they're hungry, They stop when they're full. They certainly get pleasure out of eating. There's certainly emotion connected to eating because they're being held and fed and comforted with food. However, it isn't the overriding reason they eat. So they'll stop eating even if there's still food left in the bottle, for example.
Right.
Yet we unlearn that. We start attaching emotion. For example, we might teach a child, if you don't eat all your dinner, you won't get dessert. So we begin to bribe them. We begin to teach them that some foods you have to be bribed to eat, which makes the dessert more special, right, ironically. So when I'm working with people who struggle with yo-yo dieting or who have diabetes and need to learn how to manage their eating long-term, we just take a step back, and rather than me, the expert, telling them what to eat, I teach people how to become an expert in themselves by helping them learn how to recognize why they eat, when they eat, what they eat, how much they eat, and where they invest their energy, so that ultimately I can step out of the picture and they're left with all the skills, tools, and awareness that they need to do this long term, because that's what it takes in our current food abundant environment.
Michelle, where are you located?
I'm located in Phoenix, Arizona.
Okay. And so do you see clients that have eating problems?
You know, I left my private practice to do this work full time. Primarily what I do is I speak around the country at all kinds of conferences and educational events and women's conferences. And I also have a training program. I train dietitians, psychologists, coaches, other health and wellness professionals to teach workshops called Am I Hungry workshops.
And I think that's really important, because don't you think that each one of our bodies, we need to eat for our body, correct?
Absolutely.
I mean, like, what is it that, how do you know what food would be good for you? Is it the same for everyone?
That's a great question. So a lot of the things that are being taught out there, they sort of seem like a formula. Eat this many calories, or don't eat carbs, or eat, you know, this many times a day. And every one of us is unique. Every one of us have unique days. There are days I'm more active, less active, different things going on. So again, that instinctive ability to trust and listen to your body helps guide you. Now, we're not born with the intuitive knowing of what's healthy or not healthy. In fact, I would even go so far as to say that we have a preference for foods that are sweet and
right,
high in fat and salt, because there was a time when eating those foods was actually a survival mechanism. That is doesn't apply anymore, and so we have to be really careful not just to eat whatever we want. So we teach people that it's possible to balance eating for enjoyment with eating for nourishment by paying attention. So I don't know if you guys have ever been on diets before, but I know when I was doing a lot of dieting, when I would make certain foods bad or forbidden, I could do really well initially while I had a lot of willpower and a lot of motivation. But over time, I found myself thinking more about those foods,
right,
feeling deprived.
Oh, the word diet makes me hungry.
Oh,
I'm telling you.
You're not alone. You're not alone. Like I said, tens of thousands of people I've worked with, they actually become more obsessive about food because of the restriction.
Right.
So
I think that's somewhat why Weight Watchers has been so successful, is because they don't make you not eat any particular thing.
Well, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that if Weight Watchers was all that successful, people would do it once and they'd be over with it. So diets work. They work temporarily. But if you have to weigh and measure and count and write everything down long term, that's just not going to work long term. I think we need to eventually shift into a manner of eating that's kind of like your skinny friends who don't really think about food.
It's like my mother-in-law who's really naturally thin, and
yes,
she literally, I've never seen my mother-in-law.
I know.
I've never seen her overeat at all, and she stops when she's
full.
Not full.
I mean, when
she's not hungry.
Ah, okay. So let's talk about that. Give us tips so we can start to live like that.
Okay, great. Well, the easiest one, and I love this one because it's so simple that people go, oh, that can't help. And it makes a huge difference. And it actually happens to be so important that it's the only rule that I teach. You can tell I'm not a big rule person. So the only rule I teach is that whenever you feel like eating, pause for a moment and ask yourself this question. Am I hungry? Am I actually hungry? Now, it's simple because, well, let's think of it in a different way. If you were driving your car down the freeway on a long road trip and you saw a gas station, you might think to yourself, I wonder if I need to get gas. And what would you do next?
Well, you would look
fine for gas. You'd look for a gas station.
No, you check your fuel gauge.
Oh, yeah,
gas station. The first thing you do is check your fuel gauge. You wouldn't just pull off and fill up every time you see a gas station. Yet with food, we do that all the time. We see food. We see a cookie on somebody's desk, or you know, a jar of candy, or a special at the restaurant, and we fill up without pausing to even notice.
I like
okay,
that.
Okay, so let me. This book is also about diabetes. Isn't part of managing diabetes keeping your insulin level pretty even?
Absolutely. And so people who develop diabetes have often had many years of eating when they're not hungry or eating beyond the point of fullness. They have they've flooded their body with too much fuel so many times. Of course, they also have a genetic predisposition and maybe physical inactivity and other things that make them more vulnerable. But they've been eating when they're not hungry or eating past the point of fullness for many years. When they develop diabetes after years of doing this, they don't suddenly begin to develop the ability to stop eating just because they have diabetes. So what we're doing with this book is applying the same principles that I've been using for years to help people with yo-yo dieting by helping them start to realize that they were born with the innate ability to eat the right amount of fuel. Now, they have the added benefit of also being able to check their blood sugar to compare that to where they are. So there's nothing in this book that's weird or out of line with what the American Diabetes Association recommends. It's all standard. We're just approaching it from a different place.
Michelle, do you have diabetes?
I don't. I'm okay. A family physician. I've treated diabetes for many, many years. As you know, it's really developed into epidemic proportions. So it's a serious condition. I felt it was time to really spend some time addressing it and helping people with this.
I wanted to bring up something you said and go a little expand on that. I think what you're trying to say, or what I'm hearing, is that you need to change the idea of food to be fuel, that how much we need to eat is how much our body needs.
Yes. So food is fuel. Now, that doesn't mean it shouldn't be pleasurable. In fact, I think that one of the solutions to our problems with food in our culture is to love food more, not less. And I say that because when you love something, you respect it, you pay attention to it, you don't abuse it. Yet with food, we think and talk about it all the time, except while we're eating it, then we're doing something else.
Right. It's even a social thing now. Barry, I know you had a question.
I'm a diabetic too, Michelle, mm-hmm. and it means I have diabetes too, type 2. Mm-hmm. And I've had it for years now, and I've forever eaten for every reason other than being hungry. I call myself a compulsive overeater. I will freely share that I go to 12-step meetings for my compulsive overeating. And it's a very, very difficult thing. That's all I wanted to say.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you sharing that, and I think it's important because we don't, as you know, we don't suddenly have all this willpower and self-control just because we have a disease. We may have more motivation to do it, more reasons to do it, but it doesn't suddenly solve the problem. So I wanted really, with this book, eat what you love what you eat with diabetes. Eat what you love. Don't deprive and restrict yourself of things that you really, really, really love, because you create conflict that actually gives food more power over you. Hmm. You find yourself thinking about it more, and when you do eventually give into it, you're much more likely to overeat it. So we teach specific skills for learning how to reintegrate those foods without binging or overeating those foods.
I love it. I think that this is, I mean, if we all really pay attention and honor our body and honor what goes in our body, like, you know, almost like how we buy our gas for our cars, our, you know, I mean, that's kind of it. You know, the different, the 97, right? All the different kinds of gas. It's kind of like looking at our full and our food. And I like how you kind of put them together like that. So where do we find your book?
Well, it should be available in your local bookstore. If they've run out, just ask them to order more. You can also get it on Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Okay.
We have links to those pages on our website. In fact, there's a lot of freebie downloads on our website as well. It's diabetesandmindfuleating.com.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much, Michelle, for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show.
My pleasure. Thank you.
I appreciate it. All right. Well, gosh, another hour gone by. It flies. I'm telling you, it's been really fun. Thank you, Marcia, for being here with me.
My pleasure.
And Barry on our board. And again, if you would like to be a part of our show, give me a call at 805-419-0008. I'd love to hear from you, or send me an email at kim@kimpaganoshow.com. Of course, I end all of my shows with a mommy moment, and today's is, if your ship hasn't come in, go swim out to it. And don't be afraid if you don't know how to swim. Hold on to a life preserver as you're doing it. So with that, you have been listening to The Kim Pagano Show. I'm Kim, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.